because he lives. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Because he lives.
Amen. And good morning to everyone. Morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to wake up to see another beautiful day. If you are visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church, you are truly our honored guests, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. This morning, our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just great to be alive this morning. Amen. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in. We hope that we can say something that may prick your heart. Maybe you have a question on your heart. You want us to pray with you. If you call a number on your screen, we'd be more than happy to talk with you, to pray with you. We are live streaming our service this morning. To those of you that may be in your hospital beds, in your sick beds, or on the move, wherever you are, you at work, hello to you from the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Especially if you're a member, we wish you were here. We're sorry that you have to, well, not sorry that you have to work. If you're working as good as you got a job. But we wish that still you could be a part of our fellowship this morning. We started a lesson series last week entitled Capstone. Transformational discipleship. Capstone meaning the high point. We have selected as a theme for the year, making disciples, making a difference. And capstone really is pulling together all of the tools, the things that we've learned throughout the year. And we are trying to put together not a summary, but a collection of scriptures, everything that we're going to need that we can apply the word of God to our lives. Transformational. We are taking some of our reference from a survey that was done by Lifeway Research, very practical survey. And they discovered from the survey of over 7,000 professed maturing believers that certain factors are at work in the lives of those who are progressing to spiritual maturity. And they refer to these attributes, they are referred to as the attributes of discipleship. Being a disciple means being a learner, to being a pupil, being a student. And we know this morning at the 8 o'clock service, there are many who've already committed to being a disciple, to being a Christian. But you know, when we are baptized, our life does not end. And our life in Christ really begins. And so we are challenging the church and challenging all of us who are trying to live lives as Christians to not stay where we are, to grow in grace, grow in knowledge and grace of God, to grow in favor of God as we continue this race every day of our lives. And so we hope that you would stay with us. We are in lesson two of the lessons, and we're going to begin because we have a little ground to cover of this morning. And so we hope that you stay with us. I listed last week these eight attributes, and I listed them because they come right out of the Bible. The application comes out of the Bible. The scriptures come out of the Bible. And I know that when you're doing surveys, the surveys are only as good as, number one, the people that's doing them, and as good as the folk who are telling you the truth or not. And so they are relative, but I think that they are a good guide as we go through these so we can measure. We can try to see where we are. Anybody need to know where you are today? You know, sometimes we think we're doing better than we are. And Lord have mercy, a test is right around the corner, and tests often tell us really exactly where we are in the Lord. Today, this morning, the second letter focuses on Bible engagement. Bible engagement as one of the attributes of those who are maturing in discipleship. And we can't get past it. I'm glad they listed this one first because being a disciple, it has to have a foundation. It has to have a foundation. You see, truth or Bible engagement is the foundation for a transformational discipleship. And transformational discipleship is, the word transformation means change. And it is a change of our disposition. It is a change of our mind, change of our thinking, change of our pattern. And this transformation is not for the worse, it's for the better. And so our transformation has to be based on a solid foundation, because a flawed foundation produces deformed discipleship. We made a mention to Joseph Goebbels last week. Joseph Goebbels, who was the disciple of Adolf Hitler, and they are known as probably the two of the greatest criminals of our times, and all the Jews that were killed, and Goebbels followed Adolf Hitler, that treated him like he was a god. But Lord have mercy, his foundation was not in the right place. Al Capone, one of the greatest criminals also of all time, had a disciple named Frank Nitti, who took over his whole territory after Al Capone went down, and others who were disciples, but their foundation was not on the right foundation. And if a foundation is not built on the truth, then we are on shaky ground. And I'm glad that you're here this morning and you decided that your foundation wants to be based on the Bible, the Word of God, the truth. Let me read a few passages from John chapter 8, verse 31. The Bible says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The Word of God being the truth. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 1, the elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, the truth. 1 John 2 and verse 4, 1 John 2, 4, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. James chapter 1 and verse 18, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be the kind of first fruits among his creatures. John 17:17, sanctify them with thy truth. Your word is true. And so we base our foundation on the truth of God's word. Jeremiah put it this way in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Lord, we surely don't depend on ourselves to guide our way. We surely don't depend on our intellect. We depend on the word of God to direct us and to guide us. But how is that going to make us a better disciple? I'm glad you asked that question. How is knowing the word of God, and I like the word that they use in this book. It says Bible engagement. And sometimes we read the Bible, but we just read through it just to be reading through it. To say, I read my Bible today. You see, we as disciples of God, we need to engage in the Bible. We need to read it and meditate on the word of God and find out the great truths that's in this word of God that we have. One of the greatest examples, and I'm going to give you really one example in the word of God. The greatest examples of a transforming heart can be seen to me in the record of King David in the Old Testament. The brother read in your text a few moments ago from Psalms chapter 51, and that's going to be our major text this morning. Is Psalms chapter 51. And notice, transformation occurs at the heart. At the heart. God wants our hearts, not this heart. Not this heart. This morning, somebody's struggling right now with your heart. issues going on, things you're thinking about. The devil is pulling at your mind right now. A young person, your mind is all over the place right now. But you know what? God wants your attention this morning. God wants you to listen to him and listen to his word. David was anointed as king, and he was truly blessed. But true transformation, his true transformation really came later on in life. And I say that because I know we got Christians here this morning. And I know that many have been baptized into Jesus Christ. But transformation, true transformation, does not necessarily occur when you get out of this water. Now David was anointed as king. Listen to the word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12. 1 Samuel 16, 12. Stay with me this morning. I know this is some teaching. So he went and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. This is when David was young, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is my man. This is the one that will be king." He was anointed by God. And David was a good young man, and he had faith in God. And you know what? Many of us who've been baptized into Jesus Christ, we're good people. And our hearts are good, and we love the Lord. We know we want to go to heaven. But let me read a passage that we read last week in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. I'll just read verse number 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Did you know that this is written to those who are already converts? Those who are already Christians. And Apostle Paul, he writes to them. He says, "Listen now, I know you've been baptized, but don't be conformed. Don't be shaped by the pattern of this world." And that the world is trying to shape us and to conform us. He says, but be, everybody say, transformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, is what God said. I know you've been baptized, but question is, have you been transformed? And see, transformation is not a destination. Transformation is not a destination. It is a process. So I don't want anybody to leave here with a guilt trip, because most of us are at different places. If we have given in to God trying to transform, most of us are at different places in our transformation. But Lord have mercy, I hope at least this morning that you have started your transformation. And I surely hope that we as Christians have not given in and said, "Listen, Brother Gary, I'm all I'm going to be for the Lord. I've already arrived." Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 51. And everybody all right this morning? See, David reveals the depths of his soul in this passage. And he confesses his desperate need for God to operate on his heart, on his mind. Anybody? I know, you know, it depends on where you are right now. This may not set in right now. And in these first couple of verses in this text, you hear David's heart. He understands, Lord, I need a heart operation. Somebody can relate to this morning. "Be gracious to me," David says, "O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion." Thank you, Lord, we serve a compassionate God. Thank you, Lord, that none of these people in here right now are you. Because nobody has the compassion that God has. Oh, Brother Gary, I don't know. I know. I know for myself. God got some compassion. God understands. I'm glad God has not given me what I deserve. Yeah. He says, "To blot out my transgressions." It's David now. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgression. David says, I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Ooh, my goodness. And if you haven't, see, you got to know the backstory to this. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, if you haven't read it, read all of the story of David. But see, David used to be, he was king. And just briefly paraphrasing his story, David was king, doing good. Remember, he was the anointed one. Doing excellent, doing all, obeying God's command and all. One day, David decided not to go out to fight with his men, what he should have been doing. And he stayed at home. I don't know why he stayed at home, but he stayed at home. And Lord, he got caught up. He saw something he didn't need to see. It just took over his mind. He just went plumb crazy. He took another man's wife. Took her in, had sex with the woman. And the lady got pregnant. Then he started scheming even more. He sent for the woman's husband, who was fighting for him and fighting for the nation, to be back with his wife so he could cover everything up. But it didn't work, because the man was a faithful man. Then David had another plan, and he sent the man out back in the army and had the man killed. David, the anointed one? Yes, David. The man was killed. He thought things were going to be all right now because the man was gone. Took the lady in to be his wife. She had a baby. And not until Nathan, the prophet of God, came to him and confronted him with a message from God to David, did David see himself. And it cut him so bad that he repented. And God spared him. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Has God ever spared you? Let me go back to the text, because I see transformation. That's what we're talking about, discipleship and transformation. But see, when David writes Psalms 51, he was hurting, and he was trying to get forgiveness from God. Well, I want you to listen in his heart. See, David was supposed to be with the kings. He's supposed to be out fighting with his soldiers, and his problem became because when he was by himself, he was isolated. A lot of times, when we get isolated, the devil can work on us. And you know what? Joab would have talked to David. Look here, get off that. You come in with me. We going to war. Would have kept him out of trouble. Some of us, we need to keep ourselves with the right people. Yeah. And David was isolated. He was in the wrong place. Yeah. And then he got caught up, and he just couldn't even see straight. Now, one of the things, one line in the book Transformation of Discipleship, I recommend it for you to read it, Transformation of Discipleship. One line in the book, it talks about the transformational sweet spot. And it defines a transformational sweet spot. A sweet spot on a bat is the spot that when you hit the ball on that sweet spot on a golf club, if you golfing and you golfing and you hit the sweet spot of the golf head, boy, the ball just jumped. I mean, it's the perfect hit. And the sweet spot, it says, is the intersection of truth. That's what we're doing now. We're studying the Word of God. It's the truth. It's the foundation. It's the intersection of truth given by healthy leaders when someone is in a vulnerable posture. And I know that's a mouthful, but I understand. And it gives a diagram of three circles. I didn't put it on my in the intersection of those circles. You see, somebody in here right now, you I hope you're at the sweet spot. And that simply means that when you hear the truth from a healthy, and I didn't say from a perfect leader, from a perfect person, but it says a healthy, and I don't know, you have to judge for yourself if you can listen to that from me as a man of God, as a preacher. That's on you. Nathan was David's healthy leader. He was God's man who was bringing the truth to David. And David, he tells him a story about this man, this king, who invited this man in his house, who the king had everything. This man had one ewe lamb. And the king, instead, he wanted to have a dinner. And instead of the king taking from all of his sheep, he took from that poor man, this best sheep he raised from, he took that sheep and slew that sheep. And told David that story. And David heard that story. He said, "Who?" He says, "He needs to die." And Nathan told him, "David, you the man. You could have had anybody in the kingdom. And you took this man's wife." And he told David that story. And when he said, "David, you're the man," it cut him to the heart. I don't know where you are this morning, but I hope that you, if you are someone, and Lord, and we're at different times in our life, if you're someone that you say you're a Christian, you say you're a child of God, you say you love the Lord, but do you see yourself? David is at that very vulnerable position. And Nathan tells him the truth. And thank God, David sees himself. And he just starts begging God, begging God, begging God for forgiveness. Before his confrontation, he couldn't see how anyone's heart could be so cold. Isn't it just amazing how we can see so easily the faults in everybody else but ourselves? You know, we watch TV programs. Ooh, that don't make no sense. And we see things in other people and we talk. And, you know, our stuff is in worse shape than they are. Talking about other people and what's going on. Yeah, I heard about it. But you're not looking at yourself. So in David's prayer in Psalms 51 for forgiveness, I love it. You can tell something changing in his heart. Something's changing in his heart. Because in his prayer, he doesn't mention, notice, he's not making any excuses. He doesn't mention even any the physical acts that he committed. He don't ask God to protect his eyes. He don't ask God to give him somebody to hold him accountable, because David knew what the real issue was. David knew that his heart was the real issue. Church, the heart is our issue. You see, some things I don't need to see. What we need to do is get our hearts right with God. And our heart will protect us. Let's look at the verses a little bit closer. I'm trying to end on time. In these first two, see, Bible engagement is vital for transformation. We have to see what God is trying to teach us and help us with. The first verse of David, we read in Psalms 51. He uses this Hebrew word, pasha, P-A-S-H-A. It's a Hebrew word. And it's translated rebellion. Go back to verse 1. He said, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Blot out my passion." It's a word that means rebellion. See, transgression is willful rebellion against one we owe allegiance to. That's what it is. So why are you harping on that, Brother Gary? Because, see, you won't transform until you understand the devastating nature of sin. Till we recognize, when we do something wrong, till we recognize how it looks, how it appears to God. See, David, he purposely stayed at home from war. He didn't go to war. Now, why he didn't go? His duty as king was to go with his men. He knowingly sent for Bathsheba. Even when you read the text, one of his servants said to David, David asked about, who is the woman? Who is this lady? And David asked about it. And one of his servants said, that's Uriah's wife, David. And he still sent for rebellion. It's not like he didn't know. He knew in his heart he was rebelling against God. But he continued on. Well, why are you hopping on that? Let's stop making excuses. You know, we might as well stop making. We most of us grown in here, right? Do we know when we do wrong? See, rebellion occurs when a father or mother asks their son or daughter, okay, son, daughter, clean up your room. Wash the dishes. Rebellion occurs when they just choose not to do it. They go to their room. I ain't doing that. Now that's some rebellion. Now I know some of you looking at me crazy because you say mine did that. Mine not gonna do that. Well, some kids do that. Some of us, we grown now, and we did it. Amen. Do not mistake rebellion with a mistake. Amen. See, some of us downplay sin and, well, I just made a mistake. See, rebellion is not a mistake is when you misplace your keys or you lose the remote. You made a mistake. But rebellion is when you know that you are doing something wrong. And David said, Lord, please blot out my rebellion. Because I knew what I was doing. I don't want nobody to say it this morning, but in your mind. Don't blame anybody else for when you know what you did, or maybe even what we are doing even right now. Amen. See, we underestimate the seriousness of sin when we describe sin as a mistake. Amen. Now, some things, oh no, yeah, I just made a mistake. No, you just lied. Amen. And knew you were lying. Amen. See, the end of unaddressed rebellion is almost always tragic. Amen. In verse 2, Psalms 51, David uses another Hebrew word, the word guilt. The word in the New American translations is the word iniquity. It's in the Hebrew, it's the word avah, A-V-A-H. And it means twisted out of shape. Let's read the text again, verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my guilt, from my iniquity, from my avah. David says, wash me. He's twisted. He's saying, God, what David is saying is, God, the problem with my heart is that it's not centered on you. It's just, it was twisted. His heart was restless. David's heart was restless. It was twisted. When he was on that rooftop, his heart was twisted. You know you can relate to it. Yeah, you know you can relate to that. I know I can relate to it. Sometimes my heart gets twisted. Yeah, it's twist. It's a struggle. He wasn't satisfied. And he wasn't satisfied and quenched in God, so he looked for something else to satisfy. And this flesh is weak. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Bro, Gary, you act like you act like you perfect. Did I say that? You listen to the wrong thing. Quit worrying about me anyway. Amen, somebody. We talking about us this morning. So you might as well get on in this tub with me this morning. See, I don't know what David was thinking about. Maybe he felt that because he was a king, he was entitled. You know, sometimes we get twisted when we are and feel entitled. Some of us, we are so accomplished. You know, we've gotten won awards on our job. We were the employee of the week, of the month. Or, you know, we got a bonus check, and we have all these accomplishments. We scored 3 touchdowns last. We scored 32 points last week. And when we have these accomplishments, you better be careful, because your head get a little swollen and big, and you start thinking that you deserve, and your heart, your mind gets twisted. Maybe that's what was going through David's head. I don't know. Maybe he was just overwhelmed with responsibility of being a king. Some of our leaders, some of our teachers, some of our administrators, some of our supervisors, you need to be aware of this. You get in positions and they folks pulling at you, calling your name, Mr. Shield, Mr. Man, I need a Mr. You just need some relief. Amen. Life can do that to us. It can overwhelm us. Oh, the mercy, you know it can. Hey, what your children can overwhelm. Amen. Don't some mamas and dads, don't sometimes you wish you can change your name? Mama, daddy. I need, I want, I got it, get out of here. Shut up, be quiet. Be some peace in this house. Yeah, your mind gets twisted. Maybe David just felt like he needed to conquer something, control something. Some of us, we control freaks. Got to be in charge. He see Bathsheba, yeah, I'm going to get her. He got her, didn't he? Amen. Oh, he paid a price for getting her. Yeah, he got her. You know, but you know, it's amazing, though, this is the same David. He's the same David. He was in a cave one day. And the same David, he prayed in the cave. You find it in Psalms 57:1. He said, so he prayed to God, so grace, be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me, for I take refuge in you. The same David who prayed that prayer, that's him. You know, see, let him that think he stand take heed lest he fall. See, that's to everybody. So I don't care who you are. You ain't no seniority when it comes to God. Because the devil has taken down better than you. And you think you got, just because you're an elder in the church and you're a song leader and a Bible school teacher, you can't sin. Amen. Yeah, so that's the same David who failed. Satan took him. Yeah. You know, this word, Abba, Lord have mercy, I got 10 minutes. This word, Abba, it's a tough word. It really is. I wish I had time to go into it deeper because it really speaks to the motivation of the heart. It speaks to the motivation. See, a person can be doing the right things, but they for the wrong reasons. See, the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Because, see, you a preacher and, see, I'm up here preaching, but see, if I'm preaching for the wrong reason, God knows it. Amen. Yeah, so, you see, a child can, see, you say, boy, my child, he always cleans his room. She always cleans her room, and she does all of her chores, and she's a good child. That's wonderful that you got a child that do all those things. That's great. Amen. I think. Because some children are slick, Amen. Aren't they? You know what I'm talking about. Some of us played the games when we were young. See, some children, some of you young parents, this is just one little jewel for you. Some of these kids, they will clean up, do all of their chores, and get you to trust in them and thinking that they mature so you can leave the house all to them. Amen. What, Brother Gary? So they can have their little boyfriend and girl. Bro, I know some of you young people, Brother Gary, don't tell them that! Lord have mercy. Mm. Let me get to the third word now before I time me to sit down. Yeah. The third word David uses in verse 2. Let's go back to the verse. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. All three of these words in this text. It's the word chata. It's Hebrew Old Testament. It translates sin. And chata, we've heard this before. It paints the picture of missing the mark. Missing the mark. Yeah. We're using that. Since we own the kids, we'll stay on them. Your kids, they clean their room. They wash the dishes. But you look at the dishes they have washed. He just stuck this in the water. Take the trash out, drag it all on the carpet, got stuff all. I mean, they doing it. Oh, they well below the standards. Missing the mark. David lusted after Bathsheba. Yeah. He missed the mark. Mark for God. And he plotted Uriah's murder. Fell well short of God's rule. Then he attempted this elaborate cover-up. It's way off God's standard for truthfulness. So what we learn from all of this as we engage the Word of God and God in all of his wisdom, He purposely left this in his word. Pure truth. Pure reality. You know, this kind of stuff, you know, in your family, I know in our families, we don't want the people to know everything about our families, do we? Because some of it they wouldn't believe. But he tells us the truth about David. He reveals what he went through. But we learn a valuable lesson because he left it. In David's own words through the Holy Spirit, he discloses that our hearts are in desperate need of transformation. Questions to all of us. Have we been guilty of rebellious sin? Amen. I have. Has my heart ever been twisted out of shape? Amen. Truly it has. Have I completely missed the mark of God's holy standards? In too many instances, I have. But we learn from David, who went through it, David offered no excuses. He didn't. He accepts full responsibility. He didn't grumble. He didn't grapple with God and say, Lord, if you wouldn't have put that beautiful woman next door to me, and Lord, you know how weak I am, and He didn't go. Sometimes, some of us, we got so many excuses. We see, Brother Gary, see, if I had a mama and daddy like you, and, you know, if I lived over there, and, you know, stop doing that. Amen. It won't help you at all.
Amen.
Yeah. David didn't bargain with God.
Amen.
He didn't bargain with God. He didn't say, God, let me make it up to you. He didn't say, God, let me give you some sacrifices. Read all the text. I wish I had time to read the whole, read all of Psalms. He says, because I know it's not sacrifices you want anyway. If it was sacrifices you wanted, I would give them to you. That's what David said. He didn't bargain with God. Yeah. So don't start bargaining with God. God, brokenness is the gateway to a transformed heart. And I'm going to read this passage, and I'm going to end this lesson this morning. In Psalms chapter 51, verse number 8. You read it all. I'm going to read some of the verses. David goes on to say, make me to hear joy and gladness. He's praying to God. He says, let the bones which you have broken rejoice. See, some of you young people now, you need to read through the whole text to find out some of the things. See, there are consequences for our actions. Then he goes on to say, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. He used those words again. Then he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. David, Lord, have mercy. See, transformation begins with the heart. But again, hold up now. Wait a minute now. Okay, now. See, transformation begins with the heart. Amen. And we're disciples. Remember, David was God's anointed. He was God's boy. And David failed. Guess if you've been baptized into Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But if you are still alive, you better thank God that you're sitting where you're sitting right now. Amen. Amen, somebody. See, and some of us, God blessed us this morning. Surely he blessed us because, see, I don't know where you are. See, this is a lesson for those. This is for those that's in a right relationship with God. This is one of those kind of lessons. You know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful where I am right now. I'm gonna be humble. I'm gonna keep serving God. I need to keep my eyes open. My Lord. Lord. But some of us, we've been on some shady. See, we've been on a slippery slope. Well, yeah, you shouldn't say that. Well, no, that need to be said. So we're on a slippery slope. Yeah. You know, I was reading through all of this, I said, you know, David was at home, had everything. And he got by himself. But the devil was after him. See, you know what? Do you know how the devil works? See, and you know when he's speaking to you. Because see, do you think, David, you know, sometimes we can be doing good and the devil's still right there on our trail. Amen. You know, you serving the Lord, working, doing everything, and the devil having your mind, yeah, you're going to rest after this one. You're just going, see, the devil start making plans for you. Can't you see David? Can't you hear him? As he's like, yeah, I tell you what, I'm staying home this time. I'm finna have me some fun. Amen. Listen, I know myself. I do. I'm beginning to know myself a whole lot better. And I like being busy for the Lord. Amen. Being busy is not the only answer. But when you know what tricks the devil got up his trail, you better be honest with yourself. Now, and then for those that's can't nobody. Everybody else, people have thrown hints. And I hope today you at your transformational sweet spot. Amen. That a word not from Brother Gary, from the Word of God from centuries ago. It still speaks to us today, the truth. I hope you view me as a healthy man of God today. Amen. Who has no ulterior motives. I don't know your folks. You're not working for me. I'm not trying to score any points with anybody in here today. I got a wife. I'm fine. Amen. I don't need, I'm good. That is just God speaking to you. But I hope that you're at a vulnerable posture. That's the word that they use. That you're at a place that Nathan is speaking. And you can see it. And it's time for you to repent.
Amen.
It's time for you to come back to God.
That's right.
It's time for you. See, notice, this is when David's real transformation started. And you hear it all throughout the text and all throughout Israel. You hear today you're a child of God.
Amen.
And you're not right with God. You need to get it right.
That's right.
You know it better than anybody else. If you're here today, you're not a Christian. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, to confess Christ, be baptized in water, God adds you to his body, where you have all the benefits of being a child of God. The blood of Jesus Christ washes us away from all of our sins. And no matter what you do, when you are become a Christian, God will forgive you with a repentant, if you have a repentant heart. Thank God. Somebody come to Jesus as we stand and sing the song of temptation.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See all the portals waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home,
come home,
come home. Ye who are weary, come home.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy for you and for me. Come home, come home. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling.
Oh, you can still come if you need to come. You can still come.
Come home. Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing from